Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Those of you who are worried about making your kids go to church and how that might leave them hating religion, the numbers actually say precisely the opposite. Those families who treat church as optional, they're the ones who are on the road to basically losing their faith.
I came to the conclusion that I don't believe that the ELCA is evangelical. I don't believe that it's Lutheran. Is it Christian? You can judge for yourself. I personally am doubting that it is. I mean, I guess it's in America. That's about all you can say for it.
Christ has taught me in his living and dying and living again how to pray when you must bear a cross. And he prays, Lord, take this cup from me. But Lord, thy will, not mine.
New York City subway riders, love issues, etc.
The numbers are still mind-bogglingly large. The number of unborn babies aborted in the United States is enormous, but it's going down and has been going down for some time. The 2017 abortion statistics are out from the Guttmacher Institute. Is there good news there as well? And what kind of credit does the pro-life community get for the falling abortion rate? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. On this Thursday afternoon, September the 19th, we're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Michael New of the Catholic University of America joins us here for the first few minutes to talk about those 2017 abortion statistics. We'll talk depression, suicide in the church with Pastor Scott Stiegelmeier, Assistant Professor of Theology and Bioethics at Concordia University in Irvine, California. Then Tyler Arnold will join us. There's a recent Washington Post story about religious communities attempting to meet the religious needs of people with dementia. We'll discuss how the church does approach dementia and Alzheimer's. Then Terry Mattingly joins us, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We'll talk about media coverage of mainline Protestant education. In particular, Duke University has denied official status to a pretty innocuous Christian group on campus called Young Life. And Union Seminary tweeted recently that during one of their chapel services, they were praying to, maybe for, it's hard to tell, plants. They were confessing to plants the sins against that particular form of life. We'll talk about all of that with Terry Mattingly. Joining us to discuss the 2017 abortion statistics from the Guttmacher Institute, Dr. Michael New. He's a regular guest, visiting assistant professor at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, columnist for National Review Online, and author of a recent column titled Guttmacher Report Shows Pro-Life Progress Continues as U.S. Abortion Rates Decline. Dr. New, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Refresh our memory. What is the Guttmacher Institute?
Sure. The Guttmacher Institute is an organization that does research on abortion and other issues of that nature. Up until 2007, they were the official research arm of Planned Parenthood, and they kind of claim to have disaffiliated with Planned Parenthood, but most of the research has a pretty obvious bias in favor of spending more money on contraception and legalizing abortion. So they do research on abortion with, frankly, a pro-abortion slant.
How accurate are Guttmacher's numbers when it comes to abortion rates and the number of abortions?
Well, it's interesting. Federal reporting requirements on abortion are pretty weak. There are two places that provide abortion data, Guttmacher and the Center for Disease Control. And unfortunately, the Center for Disease Control does not really always do a good job because abortion reporting requirements are pretty weak. California has, for instance, not reported any abortion data since 1997. So Guttmacher's data is a bit more comprehensive. They do a survey of abortion clinics. Again, since they are a group that has a bias in favor of legal abortion, I think we should always view them with skepticism. But at the same time, their numbers tend to correlate pretty well with Sanford Disease Control numbers. So on balance, if they say there's an abortion decline, I think there's a good chance there is.
What is the best news from 2017 numbers as reported by Guttmacher?
Well, the best news is that America's abortion decline continues. We saw the abortion rate spike up pretty dramatically after the Roe v. Wade decision, but it's been falling consistently ever since 1980. And these new numbers show that there's been a 20% decline in the abortion rate since 2011 and over 53% decline since 1980. And I think that's pretty important. I think that if I could go back to 1980 and talk to pro-life leaders and say, listen, 39 years later, we're not going to have overturned Roe v. Wade, but we will get abortion numbers down by more than half, I think they would say that was crazy. But that is what happened. And I think it does show we're making some pretty good progress here. So I think pro-life should talk about declining abortion numbers a lot more than we do. And I think it is evidence of good pro-life progress.
How do increased health and safety standards at abortion facilities, largely imposed by regulation and law from the outside, correlate with declining abortion rates?
That's interesting that Guttmacher in their analysis does really try to downplay the impact of a lot of different kinds of pro-life laws. But they do find that there were four states that did enact health and safety regulations. And each of these four states did enjoy kind of larger than average declines in their abortion rate, over 20%. So that's one kind of pro-life law they seem to acknowledge that works. They kind of downplay it, the impact of other laws, but their report seems to make it pretty clear that some of the health and safety regulations that have been passed have had a real impact.
So what do they say about other pro-life policies?
They really try to downplay the impact of other laws, but their analysis is very superficial. They do find that certain states that did not pass pro-life laws saw abortion declines, and a couple of states that did pass pro-life laws saw a slight increase in abortion rates, but that doesn't really account for other countervailing factors. We know from good research, good peer-reviewed research, that lots of pro-life laws do have an impact. And there's a very good body of research showing that if you cut off taxpayer funding for abortion, that makes abortion numbers go down. The federal Hyde Amendment, everyone agrees, has stopped abortion rates. And the Hyde Amendment places a limit on the ability of the federal government to fund elective abortions through the state Medicaid program. So again, Center for Reproductive Rights found the Hyde Amendment has stopped over 1 million abortions. My analysis for Lozier found that the Hyde Amendment stopped over 2 million. So we know that cutting off taxpayer funding works. There's also good research showing that pro-life parental involvement laws work, requiring minor girls either notify or get permission from a parent before obtaining an abortion, and informed consent laws were well-designed and give them alternatives about source of support for pregnant women and give them information about fetal development. We know those laws, when they're designed properly, have an impact as well.
What does the long-term increase in the percentage of unintended pregnancies that are carried to term tell you?
I think one thing the pro-life should talk more about is that one big reason why we've seen a 53% decline in the abortion rate since 1980 is because a higher percentage of unintended pregnancies are carried to term. We've seen the unintended pregnancy rate kind of fluctuate, but we've seen a consistent increase, a pretty consistent increase, in the percentage of unintended pregnancies carried to term. And again, I think that shows, and again, the abortion numbers are going down, not because unintended pregnancies aren't happening, it's because when they do happen, women are choosing life. So I think that shows us several things, that pro-lifers are doing a good job behind, we're doing a good job helping pregnant women through the numerous pregnancy help centers we have, and we're doing a good job passing protective laws. So this increase in the number of unintended pregnancies carried to term really does show that pro-life efforts have been successful.
What other indicators are there of pro-life success in moving public opinion on abortion?
There are several indicators. First, I always talk about the Gallup poll. Gallup has been asking the pro-life, pro-choice question for a long time. As recently as 1995, only 33% of respondents to a Gallup survey identify as pro-life. That number has been increasing. The most recent Gallup poll that was taken in June of 2019 found that 49% of people identified as pro-life. There's actually now a pro-life plurality in this country, according to Gallup. So that's a reason for hope. Also, another poll I often cite is the General Social Survey. And they have been asking the same questions on abortion since the early 1970s and really do a good job kind of tracking individuals by demographics, age, race, gender, et cetera. They've actually found that since 2000, young people are actually a lot more opposed to abortion. That in their polls in the 70s, young adults were the most sympathetic to legal abortion. But starting in 2000, young adults were the most opposed age demographic. So since abortion decisions are often made by young adults, again, I think that's a good reason for hope as well.
Why is the long-term decline in the U.S. abortion rate important, given our current legislative and legal climate?
Well, I think it's important because, I mean, again, I think that it shows that pro-lifers are, in fact, making progress. I think that women, one thing the Supreme Court has sometimes cited is that women, quote-unquote, rely on abortion for their economic well-being or professional well-being, and that's really not the case. I mean, numbers are going down during a time when women are doing better. Women now earn a majority of bachelor's degrees. Women have made big increases in terms of the percentage of master's degrees and doctoral degrees given out. So again, I think this shows that, you know, people are getting by just fine with lower abortion rates and that there's no real reliance interest the way the Supreme Court at one time said.
You spoke a moment ago about being able to go back in time and talk to pro-lifers post the passage of Roe v. Wade. What advice would you give pro-life individuals, legislators, organizations, given these latest numbers from 2017 from Guttmacher?
That we need to not be discouraged. We need to keep up our efforts. I think that many people don't follow politics very closely. And I think many people, I think, wrongly perceive the pro-life movement as being ineffective because some 46 years later, we have not overturned Roe v. Wade. And that's true, but we've made progress in other ways. And I think a very good metric of pro-life progress is the fact that abortion rates and abortion numbers are consistently going down. And again, we don't know really what will happen with the Supreme Court. We don't know what case they'll hear. We don't know how they'll rule. But no matter what happens, you know, we need to maintain our efforts. You know, we have a great track record of success. I think we should talk about more. And again, we need to maintain our efforts. I mean, slowly but surely, we are building a culture of life in this country.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, columnist for National Review Online, and author of a recent column titled Guttmacher Report Shows Pro-Life Progress Continues as U.S. Abortion Rates Decline. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk depression, suicide, and the church. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.